That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I do want to.
I know. But you're so loud.
I actually am one already.
You are. And it's thanks to BlueApron.com. It's a subscription service that sends you the exact ingredients and recipes that you need to cook your own dinners at home.
Yeah. Now, I personally don't usually need the extra help, but it is pretty nice.
I've seen you microwave a steamed cheese sandwich, yes. So you need all the help you can
of
get.
Of course.
Here's how it works. For $9.99 per meal, they'll send you the right ingredients in the exact right proportions with simple recipe instructions right to your door. It's very idiot-proof. It's like a fun evening, and you really can't mess it up. And, you know, it's healthier and it's more fun and it's a good way to, you know, learn how to become and prepare your own food.
Yeah, it's cute. It's fun. It's a romantic evening with your mate. What did we cook last night, bud?
That's a great question. Let me pull it up right now. Last night, I made banana leaf wrapped fish with fragrant rice and yu choy.
Yes.
And let me just read some of these stuff that they have for this week. If you guys order chicken drums, buffalo style shrimp and pineapple stir fry, bison and pinto bean chili. Next week, you can get soba noodles, poached eggs, yu choy, cauliflower steaks with this stuff I don't even know how to pronounce, einkorn and brown butter and crispy sage, butternut kale. They have meat options, and then they also have vegetarian options.
Right.
So I know what you're thinking. Oh, what if I'm a vegetarian? They'll send you three vegetarian meals.
Oh, you know, it's not like that. I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'm a vegetarian, so I'm better than you.
Oh,
that's what they're actually thinking.
No.
Yeah, dude.
No.
Yeah, for real.
The meals.
You really do think that.
The meals are 500 to 700 calories per serving, though you'd never guess it given how delicious they are. It's kind of fun to create this dish that you normally would not be able to create.
Well, yeah, because like if we wanted to make soba noodles,
right,
we would have to buy so many ingredients.
Yeah, and then you never see
again. But this thing is like they send you the exact amount for your dinner,
right?
And then that's it.
Like yesterday, I had to put some of the coconut flakes in the rice. So they gave me a little baggie of coconut flakes,
and that way you don't have to have a huge tub of coconut flakes that we'll never use.
It's
in the kitchen.
Yeah, they're basically making cooking at home very efficient and affordable. But how could I make it more affordable? Well, if you go to blueapron.com/ifiwereyou, they'll give you your first two meals for free. That's right, two free meals just for going to blueapron.com/
What is this, a soup kitchen? I'm sorry.
Unnecessary.
I'm sorry.
Undeserved.
I'm sorry.
And frankly, unwarranted.
Of course.
So check them out. You don't have to buy anything right away. Just at least go to blueapron.com and see what they're made of. We really think you'll like it. And it's great for couples if you're looking to get someone a gift or if you're just looking to spice up your food game. You get into a rhythm of making the same shit over and over.
Yep.
And this is a good way to spice
steamed
that up.
Steamed cheese sandwich every day for dinner.
That's blueapron.com/ifiwereyou. Thanks for sponsoring this episode. And check them out if you'd like to support us. That's it. Let's get started. Fun episode. This one was actually pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insane.
Crazy. Things got real in it.
Legit.
Which is, I know I say that all the time. Bye.
Then it's true if I were you.
Alex McGuire.
Thank you.
Alex McGuire. Thoughts?
I liked that. That was really cute.
He's actually already done theme songs for us before.
Really?
Yeah, episodes 13 and 55.
Oh, wow.
And now episode 130.
That's, I don't know where he's been.
What?
But I feel like I'm entitled to more than three theme songs from him.
You asshole.
You know, it was good. It sounded kind of like The Wonders.
Oh, yeah. The Oneaters.
Yeah.
From That Thing You Do, a fictional band.
Right.
Yeah. Which they still have to just create a band.
Right. What is the, you know that guy that's like Stacey's mom?
Yeah, yeah. Fountains of Wayne.
He's the guy that wrote the songs in The Wonders.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Which makes sense because if you listen to other Fountains of Wayne songs, they're so catchy. And he kind of sounds like this guy to me.
I feel like I'm interviewing someone on their deathbed. Your eyes are closed. You're faint. You're under a blanket. You're just talking wistfully about a band.
I
to sit here like I'm hanging out with a dying grandfather.
Yeah, no, I definitely I feel like death, and I wonder if I'm even making sense. I'm not sure like how loud I'm being. Like, is my voice faint?
It's faint, but you're so close to the mic that it's good. It's picking up.
I feel like the last 2 days, everybody I've talked to, they don't hear anything I say.
Because your ears are also clogged, so you can't hear yourself very well.
Oh, that's true.
I actually have a good, like, NPR voice going on. It's just, like, very smooth and soft, but very clear at the same time.
That's nice.
Yeah. That's nice. That's the number one thing said on deathbeds.
Wasn't that?
I just want to touch your wrinkly hands, your pale wrinkly hands.
Tell me not to be afraid.
People should know that the last podcast we recorded was yesterday in real time. So this isn't you being sick for 4 days. This is the day after we recorded the last podcast.
I'm just sick.
Yeah.
It's 2 days in a row. This is not going to come out till Monday or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So don't worry. If it's Monday in real life, I'm probably fine or dead.
Those are the two options.
In terms of recording, we recorded yesterday. I was sick. We're recording the day after. Oh, God.
No.
Really,
oh, no.
I feel good.
Do you feel better or worse today than you did yesterday?
I feel better today for sure.
You slept a lot.
I slept for 14 hours.
You fell asleep when?
I went to bed at 8
p.m.
Probably around between 8 and 8:15.
Yeah.
And then I woke up at around 10 a.m.
Yeah, you both went to sleep early and slept in.
Yeah.
You had two nights of sleep in one.
It was crazy.
Like, if you slept from 8 to 4, that would have been a night, and then 4 to 10 is another night.
So much happened.
The world.
My dreams were absurd. Just fever dreams. Oh, God, I don't even remember.
Because you took the NyQuil.
Yeah.
It knocked you out. It
knocked me out so bad. But I was, like, thrashing, tossing and turning. I didn't know.
Oh, really?
Well, I would do this thing where I would like thrash violently to one side and then sleep like a rock for 3 hours. And I'd wake up like, oh, I'd thrash around and then fall asleep like a stone, like a dead body for 2.5 hours there.
You just vacillated between a crazy, frenetic, insane person and a sack of potatoes, an idle sack of potatoes. That's
exactly what it was.
And then so like every 4 hours you'd wake up in a sweat.
I'd wake up sweating, go into the bathroom, pee, then I'd start freezing. And I would be like, I have the flu. I'm going to die. And then I would get back into bed and be like, I'll never fall back asleep. And then next thing I knew, it was 4 hours later, and I was like waking up in the corner of my bed.
So you got one more of those nights in you, hopefully.
Hopefully. And then I should be good.
Yeah.
But I really, like, as sick as I am right now, I feel like I'm operating at 50%.
Uh-huh.
And yesterday I was maybe a five or a 10.
Could you party tonight if you had to party?
I don't think so.
You would stay in a hotel room.
If we were in Austin.
Yeah.
And I would stay in tonight.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is very important for me. You know that, right?
You want to rage
tomorrow.
Yeah,
like I need you there.
Dude, and I will be there if you let me sleep tonight.
I'm not going to let you sleep tonight though.
Oh fuck, man.
Yeah. I'm going to ruin tonight for you, just
no.
just so you can really struggle tomorrow.
Should have a little nip of whiskey. Yeah. That'll be good.
Have you had like hot toddies while you were sick?
Ever?
Like no, like last night or tonight. You can have one.
No, I haven't had alcohol in a week.
Oh, yeah. You can have a hot whiskey.
I don't think I should.
But doesn't that, don't they say that? Like the old prospectors, like, oh yeah, a little nip of whiskey ought to kill what's in your system.
Yeah, I don't think any old prospectors knew much about health.
That's why they wore the same pajamas so often, yeah, that their hair sort of became intertwined with the fabric.
You saw what they looked like. Did they look like the pinnacle of well-being to you?
Also, they didn't necessarily think too highly about brushing your teeth.
Yeah.
They said that was an old wives' tale.
They just liked finding gold. That was also their idea of a job.
That'd be amazing.
I don't want to work for a living. I'll just look for gold.
Why earn money when I can just find gold?
I'll find money.
Maybe you should, like, you know, have a trade and have people pay you to do stuff. Like if you're sharing your skill or
No, I'll just find the money. If I search in a river, I'll find the money eventually.
And so many people were right. That's what it was sort of like nature positively reinforcing bad behavior. Because one guy's like, I'll just look in the river. And they're like, all right, Charlie, you go look in the river.
I found gold.
What? There's actually freaking gold there?
That fucking works.
He's in California now and he's finding gold. Now I want to do it too.
Let's all rush there.
Let's all rush to the gold. Speaking of gold, what is this podcast?
It's gold, salt, shit, Macklemore, gold.
If I Were You is the name of it. It's an advice podcast. The only advice podcast on the internet hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake.
And you're dead.
I'm dead.
How does it work? People email us at ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com and they're in binds. They're in Amanda binds. And... they try to do their...
I like that.
Yeah, they're in Amanda Bynes, and we try to sort of help them out of their situations.
They're Amanda Bynes.
Yeah, so I'll read some emails, and then we'll discuss.
Cool.
Do you have some fake names for us? Because these are real emails from real people, but we're going to give them pseudonyms of sorts to preserve their anonymity.
Okay.
Let me give you a gender.
Yeah, we'll do... One. Okay.
Okay. Bring me closer to the light, dear. Be a good dear. Okay, here we go. We need a lady.
Lori Beth Denberg.
What the funk was that?
Amanda Bynes. We're doing all that.
Gotcha. Lori Beth Denberg writes, hey guys, hopefully this email won't be too long. I'm 21 and I broke up with my first boyfriend of 2 years around 8 months ago. However, we've started talking again and kind of sort of agreed to be friends with an inevitable relationship when we're both ready. Now, this sounded great to me until we started hanging out more and he reminded me why we broke up in the first place. He's a really nice guy, but he does a lot of shitty things that hurt me and he's starting to do it again. I'm torn because I don't know whether I actually want to be with him and I'm scared off by these little things because I'm cautious, or whether I'm just holding on to what is comfortable because I'm afraid I can't find anything or anyone better. Please help me because my friends don't know what's going on. We're keeping this a secret until it's legit. Just thought I should also mention that when I'm not with him, I miss him and I just feel absolutely shitty. I hate the thought of him with anyone else, and after all that time, I was still not even close to being over him, which makes me think how much he really means to me. You guys are awesome and seriously got me through a breakup. Hopefully you can take charge of my love life. Ha ha. Thanks. Love.
Lori Beth.
Lori Beth. What are your initial thoughts to that?
That he doesn't sound smart, what she's doing. The fact that her friends don't know.
Mm-hmm. Keeping it a secret. Yeah,
anytime you're trying to keep your relationship under wraps.
Because your big fear is that your friends will hate you for it.
Also, the idea of saying, like, I don't know if I'm just sticking with him because I don't think there's anything better.
Yeah.
There's definitely somebody... you can definitely do better if the person you're with
does a lot of shitty little things that hurt you.
Yeah.
That's not a some little shitty things that hurt you. This guy does a lot of shitty little things
that hurt you, but I'm not sure I could find anybody better.
I think you can.
Think the best you can find is somebody that hurts you.
Someone that you're so afraid to tell your friends of that you've been keeping it under wraps. Someone that you've already broken up with because it hasn't worked out before.
Yeah.
And she's 21 and she's afraid, like, I've already met all the people I can meet.
Right. No, you're 21. That means it basically starts in 2 years.
Yeah. So far, this is a preseason.
Yeah.
These aren't real humans.
Nothing counts.
This is international waters. You could be boxing a kangaroo and nobody would arrest you until you're 23 years old.
Yeah, so definitely don't be friends with him. If especially, like, it's already bad before you guys are even back together.
Yeah. You know what line I think is very illuminating is, I hate the thought of him with anyone else.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's the real reason that
that's
she's together.
The meat.
Yeah.
You're not over him. I think that you're, saying I'm not over him is like I still care about him.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're just not over the fact that he's going to date other people.
This is also probably her first breakup. Oh, it is her first breakup. 21, and I broke up with my first boyfriend of 2 years around 8 months ago.
Right. He's going to be with other people, and that's good. You still have to start thinking of that as a positive, because when he starts dating other people, that means you guys are actually...
Over. It's not over until someone starts dating somebody else.
And you have to start dating other people.
Yeah, and you're going to find someone that doesn't do a lot of shitty little things.
Right. So why would you be upset that your ex-boyfriend was dating other people?
Because she wants to be with... She's like, we were together for 2 years. That's 10% of my life.
You shouldn't be with other people. But yeah. We shouldn't be together. You should be in a glass case.
Frozen of sorts.
Yes.
A cryogenic chamber.
I'd prefer if you only existed when we were together.
And no time else.
That's fine.
Here's an interesting theory. Do you think your friends... You know how like sometimes you're in a bad relationship and you don't know it, but your friends do?
Yes.
Do you think your friends know more than you do about your relationship? Like... Should you put more weight in what your friends think? Like, you can only get married to someone if 9 of your 10 friends approve. And like, if all your friends don't like a girl, doesn't seem like that's a good sign. I feel like you shouldn't be able to get married.
I feel like
you need to have 90% approval rating from your friends in order to get married.
I guess I definitely agree with a little bit what you're saying. 'Cause you
8 out of 10.
See, 70%? This is what I don't agree with. That you try to quantify everything.
What like, sort of majority are you looking for? 51%?
It would be important that my friends and family like
two-thirds.
My mate.
Got it.
But I
Six
wouldn't say,
nine.
Like, let's get 10 of them together and have them all give the thumbs up or the thumbs
down.
Well,
it would be a double-blind poll. It wouldn't be a thumbs up, thumbs down, because then people would be influenced by other people's decisions. I'm talking about a blind casting of a ballot.
If your friends like or dislike your mate.
I really would like it to be an 8 out or 9 out of 10.
You want there to be a poll involved.
And not just the 10 people you choose. I want you to choose 100 and then statistically randomize 10 of those 100 people, and then 9 out of 10 have to approve of this girl.
I guess if she's hiding the fact from her friends, then she must know that her friends don't like him.
Yeah. If your friends... How often is it where all your friends don't like your other... And you're right, and all your friends are wrong.
Yeah.
No, it's never that.
Right.
All your friends are wrong? No. You're wrong.
Yes, that's the slogan. All your friends are wrong? No, you're wrong.
Welcome to the dystopian future in which 9 out of 10 people have to agree for people to get married. It's kind of like the witness thing. You know, like you have to have witnesses at your wedding.
Uh-huh.
I feel like that's the beginnings of that law. It's like, oh, if you can't have two people present who thinks this is a good idea, then it's not. That's what that is.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, for example, I had a girlfriend where all my friends secretly resented her.
Who?
No, I'm just... I want to know. No, I've had ladies that my friends enjoy.
Right.
Have you ever had a girl that your friends, like, missed when you broke up? Like, oh no, don't break up. I still want to hang out with her more than you.
I don't think so.
Or did you hang out with your ex-girlfriend's friends after you broke up?
No, every time I get out of a relationship, it's pretty alien.
The entire world is gone.
Yeah, they really shut themselves off to me, and I to them.
People don't realize that. It's like, when I break up with you, I'm breaking up with all of your family and friends. I won't see your parents ever again.
That's the
hardest
thing.
It's the equivalent of me dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like that it's more, I guess every time I've ever broken up with somebody, my friends are excited, not because they didn't like that person, but they're like excited that I'm going to be single and going out with them again.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They're all like, or they're trying to like, you know, be positive for you.
Yeah. Breaking up is always a positive thing.
You know, it was a weird feeling, I bet. One of your ex-girlfriend meeting another one of your ex-girlfriend's parents.
Oh, yeah.
So think about, like, one of your girlfriends meeting a girlfriend's parents. That's like, it's like two things that you're very familiar with, but like have never been in the same room or like know about their existence.
Yeah, that's really strange.
It's kind of crazy. It's like a light form of the bar mitzvah where your seventh grade friends hang out with your sixth grade friends and then they're not necessarily friends.
Yeah. Which or is, like even your parents meeting somebody else's parents.
Yeah. Later. Oh, the parents
I don't think our parents have ever met, have they?
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, I'm so familiar with your parents and you're so familiar with my parents.
Yeah, I've lived but our with your parents have never met each other.
Came on vacation with mine. But like, can you imagine my mom talking to your dad?
No, that's cool. I feel like they'd get along.
Yeah, they'd get along.
Wait a minute. That's actually a really good power couple.
Your dad, my mom?
Yeah.
I've been saying my dad doesn't deserve my mother for years and right. years and years.
Yeah.
Actually, my dad deserves your mother.
That's the craziest. I really think a wife swap would benefit every single person.
Yeah,
involved.
My mom's out of my dad's league, but she is not out of your dad's league.
I had a friend whose dad or a friend's mom start dating another friend's dad, and then they ended up getting married.
A friend's mom. Oh, that's I know people like that too. And then like two friends become step siblings.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly fun. Right. I want that.
I would love it. What if me and you were stepbrothers?
Just like that movie, Me, You, and Irene.
What?
All right, so the advice to this girl is don't worry, you'll find someone better. If you find someone who does shitty little things to you a lot, it's not good.
And get over having your boyfriend be with somebody else. Like, him being with someone else is him being far away from you, and that's good because you need him to be far away from you so you can move on.
It's sort of a classic first breakup email. You don't really understand what breakups are when you've only had one. But yeah. This is you finding out. And then when you find out the next time and the next time and the next time, and then you're like, Jesus Christ, I can't keep anyone. What is it, me? Is it me? And obviously, after five or six times, it probably is you. All right, let's go to the next question.
That was eye-opening.
That was just me staring into a mirror.
It's fucking you.
It's me. Or you, I mean.
It's us.
All right. Oh, this is kind of a very different question. We need a dude's name.
Kenan Thompson.
Very good. He's been in... Was he in All That for like how long? 5 years?
Yeah, he was in All That for a long time. Then he was in...
He's still on SNL.
Kenan and Kel. Then he was in...
Like his entire life is sketch comedy.
It's pretty cool.
No wonder he's so fucking comfortable in front of the camera. We should have him on the show.
It's not a bad idea.
Streeter, if you're listening, can you ask Kenan for us?
Please.
All right. Kenan Thompson writes, so me and 4/5 of my best friends have been in a friendship group for as long as I can remember. The problem is, it's become a bit of a habit for us all to exchange a hug when we first meet and then part away. Although I love them all very dearly, I don't know if I'm comfortable hugging all the time, as I think a quick handlock is cooler and less effort. I've tried extending the arm out early to show them that I'd prefer a handshake, but pushing it out of the way and going for the grand embrace appears to be a greater sign of friendship to them, making me look like a real dweeb and unfriendly. Is it weird for me to bring this up? Should I just learn how to hug my friends and everyone I meet? How often do you guys hug each other and other close friends of yours? Thanks. Love, Kenan. How often do you hug me?
Not enough.
What are your thoughts on hugging in general?
I like to hug.
Yeah, I'm pro.
I don't think I overthink it either way, though. Like, sometimes it's nice to hug, and sometimes it's really nice to do, like, a firm handshake as well.
Yeah.
You know what I like? This is what you should really do, I think. You make sort of a secret handshake.
Oh.
You know how... Sometimes we do the...
Oh, yeah, you touch forearms. Knock. Forearm grab.
Yeah, so, like, instead of shaking your hands, I would, like, shake Amir's forearm, and then you, in turn, shake... I think, like, they needed, like, 300 or something.
Yeah. that movie owned.
That was fucking sick.
Did you remember
their
part?
Brotherhood's pretty friggin' tight.
For a fictional one.
Yeah, maybe that's what I would do.
Secret handshake is a good solution. What he should not do is say that he doesn't like hugging, because I feel like that would result in a lot of hugging.
Yeah.
Yeah, once you're outed as the guy that doesn't like hugging, they're just going to hug the shit out of you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to have, like, erases to see who can hug you the longest, the strongest. And don't even tell one of them, because then they'll tell the other one, then they'll start fucking with you.
He's worried that... How much are they hugging? this group of like five dudes.
How much of your friends would have to, how much of would all of your friends be into Hugging Free to bring it up? Be like, this is getting really weird.
It's I feel like he's just so vehemently against hugging.
Yeah. He thinks a handshake is cooler. And what does he say? Let me read that line again. I thought it was very funny. I think a quick handlock is cooler and less effort. Yeah, I think that's what you don't like, is all the effort.
You should write your friends
of
a letter and say that. Hey, guys, notice we've been hugging more and more, but I do think a quick handlock is cooler, less effort.
I think ideally we should put in the least amount of effort possible towards our greetings and what's it called when you leave someone? The goings. Opposite of a greeting. Greetings and goings. So yes, don't bring it up. Do not bring it up. Is it weird of me to bring it up, you ask? Yes. Should I learn how to hug my friends and everyone I meet? Yeah, I would say so. How often do you guys hug each other and other close friends? I would say I hug my friends that I haven't seen for a while. Every time I see them.
Yeah, like if Jesse came over right now, I would probably you would hug him, and I think I would hug him.
I think so. I think I would like to think we would hug him. And then we would hug each other in front of him.
This my whole family, like before we leave a room, say, I love you.
Yeah.
So like this is, I feel like everybody just has different
ways of saying it.
Different, like levels of whatever comfort with intimacy.
That is a thing, the love you by, like my family has never said love you.
Yeah, and I say I love you to my mom maybe like eight or nine times before we get off the phone.
Right.
So I don't know. I think you could probably just get over it and do like a light hug.
Yeah, I'll say get over it, and Jake says secret handshake. I think those are two very viable options if you don't want to get over it.
You don't have to do full embrace. Like if they hug you, you could just put one arm up and pat them on the back.
Oh, that's nice.
Like you just aren't quite as huggable.
You're talking to me or him?
Him. You're very huggable.
All right. Let's go on to question the third.
Okay.
This one's a good one. Girl.
Amanda Bynes herself.
Amanda Bynes writes, hey guys, I've been seeing this guy for a while now. He's really cute, funny, and has lots of the same interests as me. Lately, things have been getting pretty steamy, and one night in my apartment, he told me that he has a foot fetish, and he asked if he would be down to try it out in bed. I said, yes, of course. I've never been with a guy with a fetish before and thought it would be a cool experience. Little did I know, I have super ticklish feet. Anytime he tried to touch my feet or do anything, I started to laugh until there were tears coming out of my eyes and I kicked my legs spastically. We tried this on several different occasions and I just couldn't not laugh no matter how hard I tried. A few nights ago, we were in the bedroom and he went straight for the feet. I went into my routine of biting my lips super hard, trying not to focus on how ticklish my feet were, but I couldn't help it. I let out a huge laugh. Before I knew it, he grabbed my foot super hard, yanked it, and went, what the fuck is your problem? I got really scared, and it hurt pretty bad, so I just got up and left. He's been texting me apologizing for the last few days, saying we don't have to do feet stuff anymore, but I'm so freaked out. Is this my fault? Should I go back to him or just leave him forever and try to forget how mortifying that was? Thanks.
Leave him forever.
Absolutely
for
leave
sure.
Him. Oh my god,
he physically hurt you. I think he has to go to jail for that.
We're not even talking about leaving him, we're talking about coming back to him with a police officer.
Of course you do not go and give him another chance.
Anybody who has that in him is kind of scary.
Yeah,
like you know if he ever gets mad or like to a breaking point, he can physically snap. He is emotionally able to just pop.
And this is pretty early on in the relationship where he's getting this heated over a fetish and you're giggling.
Yeah.
So imagine like things going a ride down the road, like all the things that happen if you
aren't giggling.
Really stay with somebody.
Yeah. When something isn't like a cute scene out of a romantic comedy.
Right.
You giggling while he tickles your feet. Just grabbing your ankle, saying, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, anybody that can inflict pain on you.
Yeah, and it seems like he went crazy for a second. Like he lost control of his own body.
Well, I mean, I can understand snapping and yelling, but yanking her foot you're never allowed to do that.
You can't do that.
Of course not.
So what should she say? What's a nice way of letting him down? What you did scared me, and I don't think I could ever be fully comfortable with you again.
I don't know enough about domestic abuse to give real advice on how to get out of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my gut is I wouldn't blame you leaving on that one situation, because then I think that gives him too much power to apologize and say how it will never happen again. You almost have to say I'm not interested in a relationship, not because of that, but just
in general.
'Cause that way, how do you, if somebody says, hey, I don't want to be with you because you yelled at me that one time, then you would say, I'll never yell at you again. I'm so sorry. I never
used to yell. Problem solved.
And then you're like, okay, well, I guess that's the only thing. So I'll give you another chance. But if I'm I don't want to be with you because I don't feel like being with you.
Well, it's not because of that one moment. It was because it's more so, I don't want to be with you because now I know you're capable of grabbing me and yelling at me.
Right, but I just wouldn't give him any kernel that he can latch onto and apologize for. I would just say, I don't want to be with you. And that's it. And that's all she has to say. She doesn't have to say why.
She doesn't owe him an explanation.
Of course not. I mean, it's great. It's more than he deserves that she's even answering his texts.
Right. You were very thoughtful to have placated him enough to have him rub, kiss, do whatever to your feet.
I think just let him know that it's not going to happen under no ambiguous
circumstances.
You just say, this is not going to happen. You can stop trying. And you don't have to tell him why. You don't have to... honestly, if you want to, write in, text Jake, give me his address. I'll beat the shit out of him.
Oh, my God.
I'm serious.
I really will hurt him.
I'll go there with my brother and put a fright in him.
Just you doing nothing. Mike is doing everything. Me and my brother will go down there.
Get him, dude.
Hey, dude, me and my brother are here. Micah, you get him. Yeah, Micah, grab his feet. Grab his feet and pull his legs apart.
Good job, Micah.
I don't want to get too close. He looks kind of riled up and strong. I'm kind of sick right now, so I'm not interested in sort of...
I'm a little ill.
Otherwise, I'd be getting in there with him. Micah, specific questions were, is this my fault? No. Should I go back to him or just leave him forever?
Leave him forever.
That's an easy one. That's it. That was the full extent of the question. Because it seems like for her it might be a harmless thing. Oh, I was giggling and then he got kind of mad. But it's scary that he snapped.
Yeah.
And then he grabbed your foot really hard.
Right. He inflicted physical harm upon you.
During a sexual thing, which kind of makes it even creepier.
Yeah, never again.
Let's say a one strike and you're out policy to this dude. It's fair.
Sure.
All right, let's stop for a small commercial break. Is that what we call them here?
I guess.
Let's stop for a second to thank another sponsor or two, and then we'll be back on the other side of that message.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's
nah.
It's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should be.
I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay, yeah. I wouldn't. But so it's fitness now. Yeah, it's more of a fitness now thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for, and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
Amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, Bark box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn, and I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. Congrats. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most of it yours. Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money.
Love that.
Love that.
What?
Budweiser.
They really were Bud. They were Buds. Hey, Budweiser. Remember the Budweiser frogs?
Budweiser.
Yeah. What else should we talk about? What other commercials were good? Super Bowl is coming up.
Yeah.
6 days away from when people are listening. You think in the world on Monday, people are still talking about Deflategate?
I think now that people are listening, there was a reasonable, logical explanation.
Oh, as to why 11 of the 12 balls were deflated and none of the other balls were.
Yeah.
I like your theory of a rogue ball boy, just like figuring he'd help out TB in the clutch.
Yeah.
Like, Tom, you feel that? A little deflated, right? That was me.
Shh.
I can't know about that. Do you have an opinion on that? Or are you just sick of hearing about it?
My only real... It sounds shady. I guess like...
About how 11 of the 12 balls the Patriots used were deflated to an illegal capacity so that Tom Brady can throw them easier. And then the coach and Tom Brady said, we all don't know why that happened.
The more I hear about it, the more I feel like... I mean, to me, Bill Belichick kind of checks out. Like, I don't picture him, like, handling the game balls.
Right.
Tom
said
Brady,
he has
though,
no idea.
Who literally chooses them. His story's a little thinner. Because one thing he said was that I inspect the balls,
when,
like by my specification, the balls are perfect, and I choose the balls, and that's how I expect them to be out on the field. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And then 11 of the 12 balls were underinflated. So the one takeaway from Brady's press conference was that he's in charge of the balls,
and the balls were bad.
And then the upshot of all of it was that the balls were underinflated. So I feel like if you remove the one thing he said, which was, I don't know how or why, but you do have the facts. I choose the balls, and these balls were underinflated. So I feel like he had something to do with it. But the second half, they still outscored the Colts.
It's true. 28-whatever.
28-0 versus 17-0.
17-7.
77 in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
So while he did some shady stuff, He still
would have won anyway.
Yeah.
It is a weird controversy. You never hear about ball deflating in any other sport or in football, really. This is the first of its kind. So we'll see what happens. Stay tuned here in case you don't follow any news sources. We're going to be following Deflategate.
Yeah, this is a section of our podcast for nobody. Because if they like sports, then we're not smart enough to be talking about it. And if they don't like sports,
this means nothing.
But I will say that I think I will formally choose the Patriots.
Oh.
To win the Super Bowl.
Oh, because of this?
I want them to win.
You want them to overcome Deflategate adversity.
I really do.
All right, then I'll choose the Seattle Seahawks.
All right, same stakes? Billboard stakes?
Well, we'll talk about the stakes and we'll get back to people. I think there'll be another episode before the Super Bowl.
All right.
Yeah, that's it. These shows that we keep promoting are over by the time this releases. So hopefully we had fun in Austin and Houston. Do you have anything to say? Do you want to get to the last question?
Well, let's just get to the last question before I die.
before he takes me home. This is good. Another girl. Do you even know another girl in all that?
I can picture them, but I can't remember their face.
It's okay. You can describe their picture.
It was the girl with the lemonade stand.
Yeah. The girl with the lemonade stand writes, "So this guy and I have been banging for a couple months now, on and off. It started out as a drunken hookup, but now we're starting to have less drunk sex, and it just keeps getting better and better. The only thing is that this guy is pretty inexperienced. He's never had a girlfriend or even hooked up with anyone sober, I don't think. And so, although he's getting better, he's still not as great as I think it should be. We're both in our early 20s, and I've had a few relationships now, so unfortunately I know what I'm missing out on. Like, isn't it just basic to go down on a girl? He says he's never done it. He did it one time on me, and I thought, how bad can it be? It was so bad. It was like he was choking down there. I mean, other things have been bomb, but then he says things after about how he fucked me so good, but it's really only mediocre to me. Help, this guy's sweet, and I can tell he really likes me, but I don't know how to get him to be more sexually educated and experienced. Should I just guide him gently? Should I tell him to talk to other guy friends about it? How do I train this dude to reach his full sexual potential? Thanks. Love, girl with the lemonade stand."
I love that this dude is like, "I fucked you so good."
And then she's like, "Yeah, that was, I don't know, a 5 out of 10, I guess.
It was so fucking ridiculous for us.
I think we both had an amazing night.
We both orgasmed a lot."
That was the best part.
That was the best sex you ever had.
She don't want no mediocre. She don't want no mediocre.
Yeah. Only bad mamacitas.
Are you pro or against? Are you pro or con a girl explaining how to have sex with her better?
Dude, yeah, right. I'm a goddamn Casanova. That being said, I do not respond well to constructive criticism. I will blubber, cry, curse, and say, "What the fuck is wrong with you?"
Yeah, you'll get defensive, angry, scared, jealous, mad.
Who else fucks you good?
If you know how to do it, why don't you ask him, the guy that taught you that you like that?
No, I think that's great. I respond positively to... Not that I get a lot, you know what I'm saying, yeah. Ladies. Not that I get a lot of feedback in that regard.
Your nose is so red.
I'm sick.
There are white growths in the back of your throat.
I think there's just a right way and a wrong way.
So what's the right, nice way?
To just have open discussion and be like, "Hey, even like what she said in that email, like some stuff is bomb. Like,
yeah.
Hey, I like having sex with you. A lot of times it's really awesome. And, but I want you to go down on me more or whatever." And I think you can say that stuff like in the moment, like faster, harder, deeper.
Oh, so wait till it's happening and then guide him like a coach on the sidelines.
Unless it's like really bad and that she's got to straight up be like, I mean, he knows he's inexperienced. He knows that he went down on somebody for the first time with you.
Yeah.
So give him some feedback. Give him some real feedback. It might be a tough conversation to have, and he might be a little defensive at first, but I think ultimately it's going to lead to better sex for both of you.
Yeah, it seems like the advice here is the same when you give constructive criticism to anything. Like if you're reading someone's script, you don't be, you're not like, so this is what was wrong with it. You're like, oh, this was great. I really loved this and this and this in order to, but can I suggest to do this, this, this to make it even better?
Exactly. So and like, you, similar with notes, like sometimes you have specific notes and then sometimes you have general ones. Like this character like is really funny. Like I like when you do this, but like I want you to explore it more.
Yeah, yeah. So you it's know? Like, yeah, it's like this is a good rough draft, but like I really think that when you get to like the polished final version, you should make this, this, and this happen.
Give them some creative control. Say like, I like when you tease me. But you don't necessarily say how to tease you. Mm. You know, like let him interpret some of these notes.
Yeah.
I'm getting aroused just thinking about this.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm under the covers here. Just
squeezing it.
Actually, I'm peeing.
Are you?
I'm completely incontinent.
Speaking of continents. No, I don't even want to get into this because I don't remember what the fuck the deal was. Completely incontinent. Do you still masturbate when you're sick?
Mm.
Or does it actually, does it take a dive?
Yeah, I haven't masturbated since I've been sick.
So you just sort of let your body focus on getting healthier.
Yeah, I have this weird theory that that the my like semen inside me is like, it's helping me heal.
Oh.
It's just like my masculine man juice.
Yeah.
That's like rebuilding. And since it's not like being expelled out into the world, they're like, all right, well, what else can we do with this body? Let's rebuild him.
Let's use the sperm.
We can make him stronger.
Yeah, as if
we have the technology.
The sperms are like little soldiers sort of fighting. You think sperms are like white blood cells that are fighting the disease.
I just feel like I want to have all the positive stuff in my body.
Juice is flowing.
Yeah, so I want the sperm in me.
Yeah, it's like when you're driving past something that smells, you change the air conditioning to like the cycle within the car. You don't want any of the outside forces getting in.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
This is you explaining to a girl how to go down on you. It rarely happens the other way around. Like a guy has to explain to a girl. Because with a guy, it's kind of idiot proof.
Yeah,
you
that's true.
You have the stick. And then if you're just good to the stick, you'll ejaculate.
Yes.
And with a girl, it's like we have a very somewhat complicated machine.
Right.
And it's a little bit different for every girl.
Right. They've got different parts for everybody is very unique. But with guys, we're a lot less unique. It's just rub this for long and long enough and we'll come. But sometimes,
even if it's bad, we appreciate it so much.
I wouldn't say it's not so black and white. Like there are sometimes where, oh my God.
What's happening?
I lost my train of thought.
You just fainted.
I just think that like,
I cut it out, but you were out for 45 minutes.
there's like room on either side.
Yeah. There's like,
for growth, for
right?
Sure.
But I think like bad for girl is actually bad, and bad for guys is still pretty great,
right?
Like even a bad blowjay, if we're talking about oral sex,
yeah, that's
still
true.
Pretty good. Uh-huh. Whereas bad going down on a girl can be actually bad,
yeah.
And this is a good test for the guy. I will say this: that like if he takes it well, then like you know that he's kind of a good guy. But if he gets like defensive and angry and weirded out and jealous, then that's kind of a red flag.
Right, that's true. I would go into it with a pure heart, knowing that he try to think of like this from his angle, because he's going to be floored. Like he thinks he fucks you great. That's what he says.
So it might be a small moment right. Where he's shocked and his ego is bruised.
Yeah. So just be patient and let him work through it.
But know that it comes from a place of ignorance. He just hasn't hooked up with a lot of girls.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun. You're shaping this guy.
And I think both of you guys have the same goals and desires, which is to have great sex.
Which is to orgasm.
Yeah. So like you guys are on the same team working towards the same goal. It just might catch him by surprise that it's not as great as he thinks it is. But that's not to say that like it'll never be good.
Yeah.
It can definitely be good.
This is another question that I want to follow up Pup on. I want to see how it went and how he's doing.
Very much so.
Perhaps a report card. That way we can keep an eye on his progress too. You know, if she's grading him on some sort of sliding scale, we can actually see and chart his growth.
Yeah.
I'd like to chart his growth.
Exactly what was bad about him going down on her.
Yeah. Just in case I might accidentally
like
be doing that.
He was choking down there. Like, oh, fuck. Oh, shit!
He was nose deep in it. Oh, God. I'm going to ask your mom to turn down the podcast. Your mom's in California. We want her back on the show, right?
Yeah, we're gonna get her.
Yeah, I hope so. Do you have contacts with her? Maybe we can ask her through one of your sisters.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. That's our time. Thanks for listening. If you have your own questions, your own theme song submissions, your own thumbnail submissions, please send them all to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. The opening theme song was written by Alex McGuire, and this closing one was written by Angie. So thanks, Alex. Thanks, Angie. Thanks to you guys for listening. We'll be back soon. Gosh, what's left to say?
Ta-da.
Bye.
Jake and Amir, they have this podcast on. Leave yet, it's pretty damn fun. They can't answer your advice, so it's not gonna be nice. Tell you what to do if you're stuck in a wreck. Yeah, make a joke about you, because well, that's just what they do. They'll tell you, kill yourself in a Starbucks maybe, or just see the cheese that Jesus been waiting for you, and needs to be seized now. So welcome to their podcast show.
Hey everybody, I don't know if you've heard, but your favorite website, Chive.com, now has words, and it's come in the form of our shiny new podcast right over at Podcast One. So join us. I'm John Rezik. This is Bob Phillip.
Hi.
Every Thursday for a mix of Chive culture, celebrity interviews, and offbeat current events. You never know who's going to drop by the studio, and you certainly never know what we're going to say to them. So it's the Chive Podcast. It's total ear candy. There's no snark involved in this, and you can download it now at PodcastOne.com. That's Podcast1.com.